he ever get employed?
No. And that's why I'm telling you mentally, in terms of mental fortitude, because he stayed all those years, and he's not fallen into alcoholism.
Oh, okay.
He's not had cases of you cheating on my mom. You know, just those things which men do when they're frustrated. He's stayed. When I look at a good man, I look at my dad.
Okay.
And I say, hey, this is a man of principle. Therefore, if he tells me things, because when he's trying to even correct me, he says, and he used to share me and he'd say, umai niona nikifanya ikitu.
Oh.
I'm like, hapana.
Ikonini. Episode 337, tukisema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend. Na leo tukona ule mse, na majuzi nilikuambia that if you were to have some leaders, nigemchagua. Then I saw him saying, we don't need leaders. But tukona tukingia kwa story, tukona Casmuel. But before that, wacha ni kuremind kuwa Olympics go GoTV. Na GoTV kona 6 dedicated channels for the Olympics. Na uzabaki umenjoy games zote. This past weekend, mekwa nikienjoy games are farasi. But I saw like you used to be a swimmer. You still swim?
Still swim, yeah.
Yeah. Could you have gone to the Olympics?
No, labda team C.
Yeah.
Hey, unajua kuna watu wenye samaki kwa maji.
Haukuwa fish hivyo?
Nilikuwa, it was decent, but you know, I'm out of practice. I've not been, and swimming is intense.
Because you know another guy who used to be a swimmer like you?
Right.
Nicky Big Fish.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's why he got his name, Nicky Big Fish.
Oh man,
people used to call him a fish.
We need to do a challenge. Like, you know, ni aibisha bana. Hata ni prank alafu ni aibisha.
Big fish. Mesikia?
Chani ya nifanya zido.
Local Olympics. Yeah, so vile tunasema Olympics go TV, unzabaki mpata go TV plus for 999 shillings only. Pia kuna the higher packages, Max, Super na Super Plus. Na yeah, mimi nimekuwa nikiwatch na look forward to, I saw like a video that Omanyala did,
right.
And he said that people are writing him off. Because a lot of us expect that guy called Noah Lyles, you know?
Yes. The States guy. I'm putting my money on Omanyala.
Yeah, Omanyala is saying he's not going there for like a participation. He's going there to win.
But also, like, if you see the stats, he's pretty close to those guys, fastest guys.
I was watching a certain guy, Wakitambo, I think he's called Michael Johnson, you know?
Right.
He was saying that according to him, if Omanyala could just lose a little bit of the muscle, that's what keeps him kidogo tu nyuma. Like, I can lose the right amount, not too much, just the right amount of muscle.
Akute tu maandamano moja tu. Nge kama pige moja hivi. Akwe fastest man in the world.
Yeah, itabaki
website. But still putting my money on Omanyala for sure.
Yeah, of course. Lazima. Yeah. So, msahau kuwa Paris 2024, iko kwa GoTV. Eko nene. I love before pia tuendele, a great admirer of you, anaitwa Rapture the Scientist.
Ooh.
Unajua Rapture?
Unajua Rapture?
Oh, yeah, lazima niulize tu.
What do you mean?
So, stand-up ya Rapture imetokea.
Yeah.
Wasonza baki umeipata kwa ikonini.live. It's 500 shillings only. So, make sure umesupport your raya isio ya kawaida.
Awesome.
Inaitwa Rapture the Scientist. He did a very funny set about Ruto.
Yeah.
Even before history yote ya Ruto.
Yeah,
like, the way even he starts na yo story.
Right.
Was like, Ruto, nini mbaya na huu mse?
Yeah.
Then you hear just the whole crowd is like, this was in December last year. I think a lot of us have been seeing the bullshit through Ruto for some time. And it only took the protest to now push it to the next level.
Right.
So I notice umsana nini. But yeah, so wacha tu ruke kwa short kona Casmuel Makoure.
Let's go.
Iji na haku ilikuwa inanisumbua. Till nisikia ukinini. Kuzi nikuwa nafikiria hii Ohure.
Yeah.
Kasa unjina akichaka.
Right.
Then he Mark.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
It was a manga wa dungo wa whatever.
So when you explained it, I was like, I love it. Of course, lately people have been complaining about politicians dressing up. So last man kuulize, look ni pesanga pizu. Wacha tuone. Are you, because from your look, man, you look rich.
Luku ni bure. Luku ni Bwana Yesu.
Yeah.
Luku ni neema. Luku ni bure. Unataka nifaye nini?
I make suits.
So I have a suit company. We have stuff from 15K, whatever.
Okay, you actually make suits because it's good. Because I think I was having this conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know who we are having this conversation with. I think it was JMOLMC.
Yeah.
And I was saying like the worst thing about wearing expensive clothes is you have to tell people how much for them to know you've spent more.
Right.
Because with your look, like, mtu akikuangalia, in his suit proper. Like, right. I've never seen one of your suits and be like, that looks cheap.
Yeah.
You always look really good. Yeah. So for you to say that, alafu tusikie Murkomen anatuambia amevaa tie ya 15,000 shillings. You understand?
To be fair, like, suits are cheap, and that's my philosophy. I just don't publicize that business as much because I hate the whole consumerism thing of the market.
Yeah.
Like, I met this director one time and he was like, oh man, that's a very good suit that you're wearing. Who's that? He mentioned one of the big names. And I was like, yeah. No, this is me. He was like, how much?
Yeah.
And I was like, this much. And he was like, oh no, you're not ready for me. But get me a card from the car. And I think people are used to that kind of stuff. I'm like, no. First of all, I'm here for recreation.
Okay.
Okay. So that, no, for me, I'm not big on CGO. It's very expensive. If you get very good fabric, fabric is where now things get expensive. Because depending on if you're doing cotton, if you're doing wool, the super numbers and whatnot. That's what makes, and of course, the labor, the time that's put into the suit. But for me, clothing doesn't have to be expensive at all.
So you're the one who actually does the labor, or someone else does
it? So I know I have someone else who does it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's... For me, it's I take the measurements, designs, we discuss those kinds of things, concepts and whatnot. Also because I do a lot of things.
Okay.
I can't sit on the sewing machine.
Not sure. So how did you find yourself in suits?
Trauma response. Like making... And then when I was in Kampo, I used to shikanisha the clothes. But then I was at a point where I wanted to design, like, for example, if I as a swimmer, I have fairly larger thighs than Kawaida Jamas. So, like, I found clothes where they would fit my waist, but then you find that the thighs are kidogo. So I like slightly baggier pants, and I was like, anytime you get clothing to alter them, I was like, then I could just figure out a way. And that's how I got into suits. And I said, I love suits. I know a lot about suits and fabric, so I might as well do it.
Because one thing I've noticed about the American, these big guys in states, when they start something, they give it their names.
Yes.
So even like Tukiwa Watoi, when we had Boeing, we didn't know, like, Boeing was literally someone's name.
Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ford.
Yes.
So, Sutsako, Shazipati Ajina, they call Kasmuel Makoure. Shazipati
Ajina, Mazendi, you wouldn't believe it. Makoure bespoke.
I think Makoure,
yes,
just that is enough.
Right,
you don't
even
need the bespoke.
Yeah.
I absolutely just need that. So, mtu anaipataka umeiweka pale. So, joka laka kitoa. Kupatia
hiyo tag uko ndani. But, unajua kiweka suit hapa. When you're wearing a suit, and I see this as a mistake that a lot of gentlemen make, you're wearing maybe like a top dollar brand, and you leave the thing hapa. Usiache, hiyo ni ushamba. Anyone who wears good suits doesn't want to. Like, someone will see the construction, the form of a suit, and be like, oh yeah, good suit. Don't need to see the brand.
Yeah, because the funny thing about it is, I thought it's only Kenyans who make that mistake about Africans.
No.
Till I saw it in some Hollywood shit. Someone was wearing that. Then, I'm going to be like, hey, Buddha, you have to remove that. You have to... So I think it's one of those things, ile, tunakujaga kujua badai.
Yes.
So, like, when you had... anaitwa nani? Murkomen talk about wearing a tie yeah, 15K.
It really doesn't faze me. Mi kwangu, whatever you wear, as long as it looks good, the price does not matter. Because a lot of the stuff, a lot of the good pieces of clothing, of jewelry that you will find is probably thrifted. You'll find it secondhand or it's hand-me-downs.
Yes.
Even the people who wear the most bespoke suits, even if you look at the Italians, to some point they push it such that even chaffing of the shirt, the collar, that's a sign of a good shirt. While wewe unakanga hivi unaona eh shati imeanza kuchubuka hapa, una feel azizi hiyo ni ushamba. Like the people who actually wear bespoke clothing and like people who actually wealthy, they don't really care about it. And it's the same pressure that we usually put on ourselves in, oh lazima nivae. Quite literally, I used to dress up fairly well in campus. Kuna ingia gikosh na pata shati ya so, pata mbwenya siji trouser 300, 400, mbwenya 600, those kinds of things.
Okay.
Yeah, so for me, it has never, whatever you tell me about how you dress, I know I could put together a better outfit with a fraction of the money. This has never been about the money for me. It's about style, and style is not pegged on the economic aspect of it.
Yeah, because I always say that, like, I love affordable stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm the sort of person who, if I can get something for 1,000 shillings next week, and this week I have to pay 2,000,
dangoja next week. That's everyone. Even the richest people that we know, we usually see them hunt for discounts and whatnot. Yeah. This is the same as like a kinyozi experience. Unajua vizuri mtu wako hapo kwa kona yenyu atakunywa na wanchwani.
Yes.
Tao utaenda unyolewa na 1,200.
Yeah, yeah.
the days when I have 120, I'll go to this guy. Days when I have the 1200, I'll go to that guy and waste your towel.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Yeah. So for me, it's never been, it's just a consumeristic thing which everyone is sucked into. And all of us now are trying to play games and show bands. And I think it's also from musical culture. You know, yes. Hip hop was very big. It was all about flossing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But you realize the things that really matter, you can't floss about. The love that you have for your children,
yeah,
you really can't floss about. It's the intangible things, because I want to get a good car, but so that it can take me to my friend's place.
Yes.
So it means the car is not the thing. It's the friendship that matters. Mm. So for me, it's never been about the material at all.
Okay, okay, okay. And of course, like one side that we discover about you that's strange,
yeah,
is the fact that you're a musician. Yes.
Yeah.
So how many instruments can you play?
I play a bunch, man. I play so many. It could be 20.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Tutaje kadha?
No, piano.
Like your favorite?
Nigana? Piano and trumpet. Mm. Those are my two favorite ones. Okay. Just in terms of sound. I like the way they sound.
Mm.
But it's piano, trumpet, euphonium, baritone, horns, saxophones. Mm. And, you know, saxophones are a bunch, like E-flat, B-flat, soprano, clarinet, violin, viola, cello, those kinds of things. Mm. Drums, a bit of drums. Mm. Guitar, super easy.
Mm.
Just anything that I have touched,
yes,
I know how it works, because I also write for those instruments, and I don't want to write from a point of ignorance. For me, music is just like reading. It's like, how many books have you read? It's an iffy comparison, but that's the way it looks like in my head, because I'm like, if I've touched it, I've taken a bit of interest in it, so therefore I can find my way around.
So how do you find yourself playing all these instruments while coming from humble background
in a bush? This happens at Alliance High School. I was admitted to the Alliance High School, what Thursday? I forget. I know it was a Thursday, because as a tradition, Bush opened on Thursdays in 2011.
Mm.
And I was always curious about music and music instruments in primary school, but in Germany, SDA.
Yeah.
So you'd find that was a sacred possession of the church, like, kombele watoto rusi kushika. So when I got to Bush, you find that there's a whole chapel that has a piano that's not been locked. So I sat down and taught myself the songs. But then also, as I was navigating my high school experience, that it got to a point where now the inferiority complex kicks in. You're like, oh, I'm from a poor family. So you have to find a way that you'll find something that makes you stand out.
Yeah.
I usually say, if I had the chance to go to Bush again or to high school again, I would have done it the way Kalis did. The Kalis that, especially the Kalis that came from humble backgrounds.
Yeah.
Our majamaa walikuwa tu,
they were simple.
Yani, walikuwa simple, walikuwa grateful. It was enough. They were grateful for every other day, and they did quite well. I have a friend. It's a mayor. It's called Ezra. Ezra was a genius. Of course, kila mtu Bush alikuwa mnoma.
Yeah.
But this jamaa comes from sijui wapi huko kale. Ana shrub jina yake. Ameingia hii place. And I would say we were almost the same person. But sasa mimi nilikuwa na mask. Yalingia hiyo place, akalan. First of all, alifanya French na electricity.
Yeah.
Electricity ilikuwa subject kong sana.
Yeah, yeah. I did electricity. Hata KKC scene fanya electricity.
Man. French. I think alianza na elec, alafu ikamboa kaenda French or the other way around. And akaingia unapata ni form, tuko form one third term.
Yeah.
Unakaa hivi, because we are allowed to have radios.
Ukizungusha
hiyo tuner hadi certain frequency, unasikia tu jamaa tunabonga kikale. Yani wali practice hadi kuiba frequencies. Kwa like, kuna frequencies hazitumiki. So tunaweza kaanga hapa tuongee tu, tunapata tu, okay, so guys, my name is tuko form one. Na wase walikuwa wanoma hiyo chuo. But the thing which I would have done is ningeji accept. Alafu niseme, now I'll go for scholarships or whatever, because they were available to us, and not lose that goal. They had a very, and I'm saying Kale specifically, because I looked at it from a social perspective. They had a very firm sense of grounding that it was not about the material for them. It was about whatever it is, the value they get, and whatever they can go and take back to their communities. So now that's how I would nini that experience where now I bring in music. So for me, music comes in as a coping mechanism and not as a line of interest. So when I go into it, I'm like, yeah, this is the thing which I found. I found my niche, and it's a niche I'm dying with. Because to be fair, outside of all these things, I'm a damn good musician.
Yeah, okay.
Like even in this country, I can hold my own. Kabisa, kabisa, as a composer, as a songwriter, as a, like I could sit down and pen a thing. I could sit and write for orchestras because that's another part of me that people don't know. I have a whole big band and I have an orchestra. And I churn out music. If I sat down in a room for 30 minutes, I'll churn out something. Quite some, so those are things which I'm reaping right now from my high school experience, from sitting down endless hours, understanding how does this work, how do you write for these kinds of things. Yeah, so for me it was a coping mechanism, but also I was very passionate about it.
Okay, because even when you talk about writing for the orchestra, it reminds me of like one of watu metoka nao chuo moja ni alma mater.
Yes,
najua.
Yes,
so one of them ni Helon,
right?
And the saxophonist. Yes,
yes.
Was at Starehe.
Yes,
and he created his wealth basically through that.
Yeah,
like just playing the saxophone.
Yeah,
so much wealth that lives in Karen. Unajua, yes, Karen is what. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ile, okay, purely she Karen. Yeah, so, but tabonga juu yake.
See Karen. Currency.
Yes, yes. So tutabonga juu story ya Karen. But even before vile umesema, like if you come to music, you can hold your own.
Yeah.
You made it remind something that I was following up on. I don't know, like a few days ago, there was this post that Nani alitumia. Mpaka nikasema, unajua nikikusikiza, one of the things that I admire about you is your vocab. Alikuwa utumia vocabulary, and I was like, you know what? That's interesting. Because I always make jokes about my dad. So my dad was that typical Luo.
Proper.
Wale wa Jack
Origi. Let me introduce to thee my progeny.
Yes. So nakunga kuna time moja ile, like kuna mode alikuwa ananienjoy. And your dad came here and used the word that I never used before. I had to like go look for a dictionary. So what I buda make, alikam kwa kia lafoka wambia, like, I was perusing too.
Yes.
So that's the first one is getting a peruse. We're like, So kuna conversation fulani ya kina Buddha.
Yeah.
I still remember it still today.
Yeah.
Was my dad and my uncle walikuwa naongea. Alafu uncle yangu anambia Buddha, like, Nathi Kanyo, like I went there.
Yes.
And I threatened him.
Yes.
But then he warned me. It stayed with me. Because there's a difference here. There's a difference between a threat and a warning.
And a warning.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
But now, there's this word, open aga kutumia, disabuse.
Right.
So, nikamwa, since ni iko nini and we talk bullshit, lazima nige kuuliza, umesike isto nini, nani posted something, Otile Brown, and it looked like he was dissing, he was dissing BN.
Right.
Afika fanya, msika mini kasema, like, hile, like, nige kwa sijui kituka niko, like, yeah, ya naito nani, he, Otile diss, then abused.
Yeah.
Then abused the end, yeah? So
threatened, then warned.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So now, Historia, Otile and Bien, if you are, as a musician, if you are to pick a side, whose side would you lean on?
There's no side. I think what that is showbiz.
Yeah.
Otile is one of the biggest artists in the country.
Okay.
Bruh. Like, let's give it to Otile Brown.
Yeah.
Bien as well. So I think it's
but just... to musicianship now. Ile, ini iko nini?
Again. And nojusa mina angalianga music very differently. Yeah, that's why I don't participate in these online discussions because I think people approach music in a very stupid way.
Okay.
In the sense that, unasikia mtu akiongelea bongo vibaya and I'm like, bruh, one of the hardest bops I've ever heard, like just from East Africa, is a bongo song.
Yeah, yeah.
Just even just on the musicality, and it's a... it's like a ninogeshe.
Oh, Ninogeshe
has such a drag to the beat. If you deconstruct it as a musician, there's a way the beat lands just when it's about to end, and it's you can compare it to like a French writer called Stromae. Stromae does also like those kinds of things.
So for me, in
my head, I'm like, I can't participate because a lot of people, and this is going to sound hella proud, but I'm like, the way people discuss music in the online space is very mundane. And I'm like, I can't participate because this is child's play. So, because if I look at Otile Brown's music and BN's music, one, it's unfair to compare them because they do different genres. Two, if I were to go deeper, if we flipped their producers, we'd have totally different emotions.
Yes.
Yeah, just depending on what it is that you're going for. Both of them are heroes in my books.
Okay.
I resonate with BN more in the sense that Sauti Sol is a group we used to sing for our chicks when we were in high school. But bro.
Okay. Because I think even like another thing I need to make clear is Otile didn't come out clearly.
Right.
But you could see. Because he talked about this musician who wasted an opportunity while working with Inda,
I guess
it was Prince Inda.
Yes.
And then kwa comments, one of the reasons why I was asking you is this, kwa comments someone said, Otile, you might be good, but you never reach the level of musicianship of BN because your live performances are not there. And I don't know if you've watched the two of them on stage.
No, I have. And I think
BN is...
Yeah, BN is an animal for sure.
That's an experience.
Yeah.
Otile on the other side, mtu anakuwa like, you know, you're Otile Brown.
But what is musicianship really? It's not about the performance, is it?
No, the performance is important. Kuna kugana ile yako tu ile tunakuonaga like you get obsessed. Hey. You know, you get possessed.
But utapata kuna msee mwenye ananisikia na anafikiria mimi ni mkuu. Anasikia Adele pia.
Yeah. But Adele, you see, Adele performs on stage. You understand?
But like, does she dance?
I think that's the mistake.
Oh, we're talking about like the vocal range and whatnot.
Because Otile, normally it's playback.
Yeah.
And when it's not playback, he's very rigid on stage.
Right.
You see, if you're rigid and it's not playback, we understand.
Mm.
Because we have people who are very wild on stage, like Zuchu, for example.
And Diamond, man. Diamond is a beast.
Yes, but now for me, for Diamond, the problem I have is I didn't come to watch you dance. I came to watch you sing. So I don't need this playback shit.
I mean, again, that's the other which I could have pushback on. It just depends on what it is that you're looking for.
Because
kuna mse, mwenye ataskiza cover out ile hata ikiwe sijui me mix yo aje na DJ. So I think about it as almost as if trying to say this person is more eloquent than this person.
Okay, okay.
So in my head, I hate those comparisons because I'm like, first of all, we've in terms of eloquence, so I'll tie that to like musicianship. Someone feels as though if you have like a, if you don't have inflections that come from like the local dialects, that you're more eloquent.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I know really smart people who have like a bit of the accent. Influence. And in my head, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
There's a babe called Nangami Masaha. There's quite recently in this Maandamano, there's a comrade called Comrade Kenuthia Wandongo. I speaks, bro. Listen, Akina Wanjira, Akina Masi Masai, Akina. There are so many people who speak, and I'm like, man, these guys are smart.
Yeah.
So, like, with those kinds of things, it's the same thing where I would be like, it's not the vocal quality is not the same, and the work of music is to portray emotions using sound, because you know a painter paints on a canvas or on a wall, the musician paints on silence. So for me, it's never been necessarily about how do you sound. It's about, are you able to convey an emotion that I know of into song? So I would, if I look at them, I'm like, it's first of all unfair to compare them. It's unfair because BN also, remember them being in a boy band, they were very heavily leaning onto the side of live performances as compared to Otile, who did most of his work on studio. So we find another person and we could compare maybe and say, there's places where BN would shine more, there's places where Otile would shine more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this means that for you,
as we disabuse ourselves of the idea that we can critique music effectively.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, kwako inamaanisha the live element does not play so much, because this is what I've been, when I've talked about Diamond, Mubongajo, the fact that I feel he'd be a bigger global star. He's very big.
Yeah.
Like Diamond is huge.
Yeah.
But he'd be bigger if he worked more on his live shows. Because, if you look at Diamond's tickets when he goes abroad, you know he struggles to sell tickets. And at some point, when Akina Nasema Nawe came out, you remember that song?
Yes.
He used to pack.
Yeah.
But then people noticed this guy comes to do playback. Alafu he just dances on stage.
I think he would
be. So they never, because if you've watched Adele, used Adele as an example, Adele will even stop, have a conversation, curse, then hit a note, sing, any of that. So we come for that experience.
Right.
Like even one of my favorite musicians, I don't know if you've listened to him, is called Jacob Banks.
Okay, no. Okay, I haven't. Now I have a person to add to my...
Yeah, so Jacob Banks, he'll never do the same performance, like the song. The way he does, he has a hit called Unknown.
Yeah.
The way he does Unknown today, the way he does it tomorrow, totally different.
Absolutely.
But he might put it... Kule juu kabisa.
Yeah.
So when you go to a concert, alafu it's playback, especially such a big artist, you're there like, damn, man, this is...
It's true, but Diamond would be a bigger star if you are a white man, if we're just going to be honest. He's not going global because he's black.
No. I tell you, nita argue hiyo, ni juu ya Sauti Sol wana pack concerts, wana pack halls wakiwa huko. Who else? Of course, Burna Boy na kina Wizkid. People can use English, but you know they speak very little English.
Right.
So we can't use that as an excuse. I just feel like for him, the fact that he never performs live, he just dances. I'm not coming for the dance.
Right.
I'm coming for the voice.
Okay, okay.
Like, for me, he's a great singer. Like, yeah. I've had people talk shit like, oh, Ali Kiba is better.
Yeah.
I feel like they're both at the same level. But Ali Kiba performs.
Okay.
Mboso performs.
Okay.
Diamond, Rayvanny.
So basically
Zuchu,
that's...
Zuchu is even worse.
Was a few type record.
Yeah, like side. Zuchu does nothing on stage.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Nandi. Really. What we're doing in Nogesha. Nogesha is a Nandi.
Yeah,
so,
it's a Nandi hit.
I've never seen Nandi. But for me, that's the reason why Kenya beats TZ hands down is live concerts. Like, have you seen the images coming from Blackets and Wine? It's like crazy.
Yeah,
like,
but you know, you could argue that also TZ has some very heavy hitting artists just in terms of performance. Brother.
But now sasa akina Saida Karoli.
Wako still. No. Like,
kukuchu. Wanaweza kweli.
But no, I see. If you think about it, because you have to look at it holistically even, nitaka hivi chini niseme... It's like someone saying Tanzania has better gospel music than Kenya.
Yeah.
I'm just saying live performance. Yeah, we just see more of them on YouTube. They've invested more in showing us their live performance aspect. And you would see that we are also borrowing a lot.
Mm.
I think when they got into the industry, they focused on the thing that generated most revenue for them.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that if Diamond said that I want to work with a live band, like he would hit. And I know this because we play Diamond songs in our live gigs. Meaning that he's generating hits that can be played live.
Yes. And that's you look to, and I think to not agree on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see the convergence. You feel like it would be bigger.
The only problem is saizu kiniambia.
Yeah.
Makoure sings Diamond.
Yes.
Live on stage.
Uta itaja.
Niambia Diamond sings Diamond. Si itaja. Minta kuja kwa yako.
Yeah, because
I know you're going to perform.
Okay.
Him, I know he's going to play me the same shit I have at home.
Yeah.
But they dance on stage.
I see what you mean. But also, remember, just to give it a bit of pushback. At some point, that was the hottest thing.
Yeah,
people wanted that, like that Jason Derulo, Chris Brown type thing. And Diamond can really hold his own against these people.
But
like I've seen him live do that whole thing.
But they perform.
But to be fair, for sure. But to be fair, also, you know, that if you're performing and this is, let's not isolate the dance from the singing.
Yes.
The singing is just one aspect, very small aspect because he's an entertainer as well. So it has to be flashy, it has lights. And if you're doing those kinds of moves, your vocals could be distorted. So he looks, I think my reasoning would be, and I'm saying this is a live musician.
Yes.
It would be harder for you to, you could distort the vocals with the dance. So I'm like, yeah, I would rather compromise this. I'm not advocating for, if you say it's a live music concert, please,
live.
For the love of God, come and sing live.
Mm.
Yeah, but also extend a bit of grace.
Okay,
so I never go into that direction.
Then Utakuwa a very good politician.
Yeah, I mean. Kwa tunaka hivyo unafikiria... I just fell off the ground, man.
Yeah.
How did I win campus politics? You know, people look at me and they tell me stuff and I'm just like, oh, you really think I'm new at this politics thing?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was a student leader. I've won elections in campus.
Took.
Yeah.
Technical
Kenya Poly, Kitambo, yes.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I won elections against very, very like severe opponents.
Mm.
Same dragging that happened to me on Twitter recently, the same thing I saw in campus politics.
Yes.
So when it was happening, I was like, been there, done that.
Yeah.
So,
Well, because trying to get to the politics.
Yeah, of course,
we'll
talk
about
much later,
the kidnapping. Eh?
Yeah.
Because and the bullshit that it brought. Because I remember watu walikukujia kabisa.
Yeah.
But before that, nilikuwa nataka tu anze na hizi vitu.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
So, wacha to go back to, there's something tumeongea hapo mbeleni about Kale's accepting themselves.
Yeah.
And this is something I saw.
Yeah.
Mimi, nikiwa mtoi. Because sasa, sisi, what happened is, I went to Starehe, yes? And kuna mseta kuwa like, msa Starehe lazima semezi,
yes,
kuna
mseta
nini? There's a reason why tunabonga J story.
Yeah.
And with Starehe, I didn't feel, I was not ashamed of the poverty as much as I was when I was at a certain school called St. Patrick's. So St. Patrick's...
Go back to Starehe kidogo.
Yes. So Starehe...
Why weren't you...
I was not as ashamed because Starehe had two types of people. Kulikuwa na tunaitwa fee payers.
Yes.
Alafu kulikuwa na free students.
Yes.
So I was part of the free students.
Yes.
The ones who are learning
for free.
So you
knew from the word go, yeah?
So tulikuwa wengi kabisa.
Mm, mm.
So, and alafu, even poverty levels, kuna vile rapture usema kuna watu wako below the poverty line, line. Kuna watu wako kwa poverty line, line so si tulikuwa kwa poverty line and there were people below so with that there was always the thing of we are doing bad but not so badly but then the funny thing was when I was outside Starehe so because outside Starehe now we are in a neighborhood and in the neighborhood people can see what your mother does so my mom used to sell hizi stones za like pregnant women
zile za white
so alikuwa na place pale Gikosh
yes
and she'd want us to go there like when we were on holiday and I was always so ashamed
right
wachiki like niko ashamed because sometimes uko kwa hiyo alafu kuna like a girl that you know from the neighborhood amekuja kutafuta nguo so na uzamawe hii side alafu kuna nguo hizi so when you talked about your mom visiting you cuz maybe let's go back to that wacha tuanze na hiyo part ya madhako kuvisit Alliance and then we'll go back to now poverty vizuri so is he why does that day stand out the day she showed up with bananas ama
no the day that stood the thing that made that day stand out for me is it's in retrospect I would have spent more time with her I would have actually told her hey maze mina skevi because my mom has always found the simplest ways to explain very difficult things to me and I would have understood poverty better because that day and I never thought anything much about it but afterwards I came and saw that this woman gave me everything that she had if she showed up with bananas probably it's because that's all she would have afforded you know and so it was like a shame thing which and you know life must be lived forward but is only understood backwards and so it was an understanding so that's what makes that day it never stood out for me in the past until it clicked after I was done and I was like yeah she really did give her all and I saw other people you know sit with their folks and whatnot and I even sometimes would want to sit with other people's folks because you know they had like a car they had like some nice seats and good food it's a nice buffet but I look at man you know
like chapati was
meat man and street pizza you know bush was very crazy but I look at it nowadays and man I'd rather spend time with my mom
I know
no matter how rich your mom is your dad is nikipata chance hivi kidogo I want to spend time with that mom of mine and I had there's a time I had the chance to spend like entire days entire holidays in her house and whatnot but of course now it's not gone because we're very very good friends they come over to my house I go to I very rarely go but they come over to mine and so that's the thing because nilika hivi nikasema it felt as though my parent was not parent enough they were not enough of a parent for them to for me to be seen around them and then you know being an extrovert you feel as though society expects you know that's the other thing which we usually look at ourselves thinking that everyone's watching so like when someone insults you it hurts you you feel like they go on their whole day that's what they think and especially in this media world mtu anasema kitu tu alafu akuache aitupe iende hivyo so I kept on thinking oh they're going to think that you're poor but I realized that I was not the only poor person there was nothing special about my poverty and if anything there are people who are in that school who are poorer but I don't know I was a boy I was a baby there's a lot of things that I didn't understand there's a lot of you know modalities of life that just the different intricacies and complications of life that I didn't understand way back then so I felt even tu vile umesema mzazi wako alikuwa anauza mawe at some point when we moved to Kisumu life got really really hard and like my dad opened like a little like biashara type thing and alikuwa anapeleka vitu kwa hivyo na mkokoteni sometimes now he'd call us to help so mazee na kaivi niko like mimi mtoyo alliance mazee na futa mkokoteni it felt so those are part of the things which I look at and I'm like these people actually gave me their all it just that what we had expected and then now you know you're teenagers you're comparing yourselves to
everyone.
Hollywood to nini unafeel tu lazima niko Chris Brown lazima niko nini yes iko huko juu so that's why I usually think about it and I tell anyone if you're going through that thing chill relax like so many people are poor in Kenya even the statistic is shocking out of the and I was keep on asking people like out of everyone who's employed what percentage do you think makes over 100,000 and everyone usually tells me I think it's like 500,000 people or a million no under 100k.
Yeah.
So like I would tell anyone who's, and I know this is young people, I don't know what your viewership usually is like. We've always put a lot of pressure, like they see me here and they feel like we're almost age mates. On like, why is he in a suit and whatnot, and like, is he driving and whatnot?
Yeah,
it's just life, time and chance happens to them all. Yeah, so that's what it was like for me. That's the thing that made the day stand out, is that I wasted a whole parents' day where I could have spent with my mom, and I went to play, just do all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I came and saw her, because I also didn't see her much after that. She couldn't afford to come and visit me.
Yes.
That was the one visit after admission. That was the one visit I had with my mom, and I blew it in that high school.
Yeah. So vile umesema hivyo nini, had to check very fast. So our audience is 0.1%.
Yeah.
13 to 17,
right.
Those are kids. Eh?
Right.
19.8%, 18 to 24.
Yeah.
And of course, I know 18 to 24, you still have that shame.
Yes,
if
yes,
you're
yes,
poor.
Yes.
And then 25 to 34,
yeah,
that's where 50% comes from. Still, so it's your age.
Still, yeah, those are my group. People, man. And you know, sometimes tunaangalia hivi life na film, sema songa mbele. But a lot of people are just doing like really shady things in Nairobi.
And
nobody who's made money can tell you these are the tricks.
Yeah.
Because if it's waking up early, all of us have woken up early at some point in our lives. All of us have had a CEO's lifestyle.
Yes.
Worse still, even for people who are in school in Nyanza, who kept on waking up at 3, sleeping at 11. So, where's in Yambia? That CEO's the purported CEO, because sometimes ati CEO was in the office, he's in the office at 4. No, it's because he was snorting cocaine. He couldn't change. He's not ati crunching numbers, no. It's because, you know, so a lot of the time we usually feel as though our life has to be rushed, and that's part of the consumerism I was telling you about, where it feels as though kila mtu lazima kuenda the latest what and the brand, this is what I'm wearing, this is what I'm doing. I'm not such a huge fan.
Yeah.
I don't care for it, because everyone wants to drive the latest car. And you realize, man, the hedonistic thing, the moment where you think, oh, I want a car so badly, you get a car a week in, you're just like, what the hell, bro?
To go bias remorse,
you know.
So there's also a part of that shit is bias remorse
kabisa,
and it happens with everything that you love.
Yeah.
So mi nakuaga like to some degree I love electronics.
Yeah.
So when I buy an electronic, I always have the fear.
Yes.
Am I going to have bias remorse? I check it. So you go through that phase and you're there like, But I think the reason why we share these stories, that they struggle and what our parents went through, is because it's all part of the growth.
Yeah.
I check it.
Absolutely.
Me, now when I look back, I listen to a lot of rap music. Eh?
Right.
And there's a new album, Metokea, this guy called Common. And Common says, I don't know a hustler greater than my mama.
Ooh.
And I'm planning to do like a different podcast
that
I target Africa with, that's strictly English.
Right.
And I want the first episode to be about my mom. So I want to tell people the story about this woman who sold mineral stones. Eh?
Yes.
This woman who sold weed at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my mother used to sell weed.
Allah.
And had the highest disdain for weed smokers.
Kabisa.
But like, I saw the hustle, and also how she stayed with a man who basically struggled with alcoholism for a very large chunk of his life.
Yeah.
Back alcohol killed him. And she stayed loyal. And that at that point, you can't see it. You can't see that this is a girl in her 30s. Till later in life, when you meet girls in their 40s and you see, like, these are young girls.
Yeah.
These are girls who can still go out there. They don't have to be loyal to any man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, nezataka sana kubonga Jayo, because the poverty, man, like, we were poor. She had to work 7 days a week.
Right.
Alafu your time, akikuja chuo, you are ashamed because she looks poor.
Yeah.
We mwenye adole imefanya, you think everyone is watching you. Right. Nobody is watching you.
Right. Nobody cares, really.
Hakuna mtu anakucheki. So vile ulibonga jo story, nilifaindikiwa, like, super powerful. But another thing that I'd want us to talk about is, you talked about being expelled. Eh?
Yeah.
So, iza kwa se tunaruka-ruka.
Yeah.
Tumeruka kwa utile,
But
that's it, Konen.
Just follow.
Of course, one of the things, as I said, mubambikaga sana na kukusikizo kibonga, because, like, the vocab.
Right.
Kwa take a place module, sema, I was an academic outlier. Meaning, used to excel in academics. That's
for
what
sure.
that means. Eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, kama ulikuwa na fail, pia unzatumia
but you're not outlier, kwa sababu you know
zizi unzatumia tu liar,
academic
malaya namaanisha kitabu ilikuwa inanitomba. So prostitute. Okay. So maybe hata wacha to rewind kabisa.
Mm, mm.
Primo, ulienda Primo gani?
Primo mob mazee nilienda Our Lady of Peace pale hapo nyuma hapo Karen nyuma karibu na Shell.
Yeah, yeah.
Kwa hiyo soko.
So mki move to Karen e time uko.
Actually tulikuwa na issue mo kwanza. Mm. Nilienda Simba Hills.
Mm.
I don't know if it was a daycare or a nursery school.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheza cheza na watu wengi kafila watu wengi mafala. So mimi nikaenda to class 1.
Mm.
Then so Simba Hills from Umo, then my dad had just lost his job.
Mm.
So we relocated somehow to that area in Karen. It's like a teen shack. Hata ikeja ni bigi.
Yeah.
It's wider. It was like maybe till till somewhere there. Yeah. It had a bed, a couch, and then kulikuwa na kameza pale, kuna stove, na kulikuwa na mitungi.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was Karen, yes, but ni Karen yo place ya masafara. Hapo ndani, you know.
Karen nenyu ilikuwa ile karibu na Donyo. Unajua Donyo?
Uko ina feel ngong uko. Acha na Donyo. Karen, like you just go up that, before you figure Bulbo, Westwood actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Get to Westwood, where the Defense Staff College is. Unaingia huko. Kuna wazae, kuna watu wanoma hapo sana. Kuna, like, very rich people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but then there's like a little community. It's about maybe like 16 houses. Yeah, 1, 2. Oh, it could even be 12. Okay. And then our Mabati house was at the end.
So, I think then, Nini, because I was wanted to explore your childhood, this, like, uko mele.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can explore it right now. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you come from a family of 5 kids, eh?
Yes, yes.
Kusema, but you lost 1 kid.
There was one hapo hivyo katikati ya mimi na sister yangu mwenyewe.
Boy, girl?
Hey, baby Lilian alikuwa tu mtoto wa mama yangu.
Oh, so it was a girl, eh?
Boy.
Lilian?
Hey, I think mamangu alimuita tu Lilian.
Yeah, yeah. And what really happened?
Talked about that with my mom. It's just photos I found of like a baby, of a tiny coffin and a tiny cross.
Oh.
And my mom, I don't even know if this is okay, but she really never talks about it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I've never heard her talk about it. She just says baby Lilian.
Mm.
Of course my mom's called Lilian.
Mm.
She never really has talked about I've never heard her talk about it. So there's now a pal of mine who now talked about the child that she lost, and I was like, oh man, my heart goes out to you.
Mm.
Yeah. But if I were to talk about a person who's the most revolutionary person I've met, it's my mom. And like my mom in terms of existence,
yeah,
my dad in terms of the mental.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah. So that's the family. Yeah.
To gonna like some similar stories. Because my mom lost twins.
Oh man.
Twin girls.
Yeah.
Never talks about it.
Yeah.
But I've never asked.
Yeah. Ata mimi.
So I feel like the next time you menda water.
Yeah.
Try kumu explain the concept of a podcast.
Yes. Yes.
You go like, people share these stories because of what? Because I'd want to know a few things about how she lost the twins.
Yeah.
What happened? And then my mom's bath nini was interesting because them twin girls them boy twin boys boy yes so she gave birth to 8 kids
yes
and now the worst thing is she's buried 4 kids.
Oh man,
you see Ule. Like
puleni bana,
yeah, that's why like what to shinda kwa why
parent,
yeah like mona got to online like attacking women and what and I look at my mother, I'm like, you know, I met this person as a girl,
yes.
So ni hard sana wepata nime join that whole masculinity.
To be fair, and I think it's a thing which, it's a phase that a lot of people go through.
Mm.
And some people stay stuck.
Because
whatever, let's talk, just get over just masculinity, that red pill ideology.
Mm.
It shows you this is the nature.
Mm.
It's men who've gone through certain things, and now they tell you this is what it is.
Yeah.
You either choose to swallow it or you spit it out.
Mm.
And I also had like a red pill phase where I was very like macho.
Yeah,
that's like maybe two years ago and whatnot.
Oh, okay,
like just getting out of that thing just before I can at it rise up and whatnot. And part of it is you can't get stuck there. You can't start blaming people because a lot of these people who are talking were born to single mothers.
Yeah.
A lot of these people who are talking were born to like fathers who never stepped up to the plate, who are like drug addicts and whatnot. The exact kind of men that they're trying not to be.
Mm-hmm.
But like the mothers in this African society, the mothers really hold it down.
Yeah,
they
stay
and they do whatever it is. So it's not something I would totally write off, but I wouldn't use it as a lens.
Mm.
To say just the way tulikuwa nafanya nini high school ukipatiwa blue black presence of starch. You can't use the same test for everything.
Yeah.
So for me, that's what I look at the red pill as, that whole masculinity thing. I'm like, you can't have it as a personality. It's like saying me, I'm a coffee addict or I'm a whatever. Yeah, just chill. It's one of the many ways you could look at the world and say, I see whatever is happening here is hypergamy. I see whatever is happening. Because a lot of people take it and adopt it as a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like, it's just, it's like saying, lifestyle yangu ni histo, ama ni CRE. Just... Yeah, it's one of the many subjects you could be interested in.
Upumbavu fulani. Of course, I think Vilomes talk about a lot of us being raised by single mothers.
Yeah.
I'd say even the most people who have both parents,
yeah,
the mother ends up being like a lioness.
Right.
Have you ever checked the Lion Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
It's the lioness that goes hunting.
Right, right, right.
The king stays.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we'll talk about Kenyan politics, but Kenyan politics have disempowered the man so much that you have a lot of families where it's the woman who goes out.
Right.
And the man either stays at home. Like, that's very common. That's why ukienda place kama Gikomba, you'll find so many women with that ile story yao za kufunga, pesa imefungwa
kwa kanini
flani.
Yes.
And that's because they've gone hunting, because maybe now the dude, the politics have zimemess, but now they're struggling with alcoholism, they're struggling with all that shit that has been normalized. So it's but nipoa kama ulitoka from your like, red pill
mazi nilikuwa na cafes hapo kuna relationship flani ili undersag na gemege and I needed like
a way to vent
a thing and it came at the right time where, and you know what the red pill does, what it's supposed to do ideally, which I don't see it nini for men, it calls you out. It has never been about the women. It's always been about mazi, you make dumb choices, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And I'm not saying that women are these perfect beings, because that's also like infantilizing them, because we also run the risk of saying, oh, now the men are the logical ones, that the what we're all like a blend of logic and emotions and those kinds of things. But a lot of people usually just look at the red pill and think, oh yeah, so that's what the women are. But you realize that anyone who's interacted with women, if you're good to women, they're good to you.
Yeah.
As we is with any, if you're good with money, it's good to you. If you're responsible generally, that's what it is. And it's the same as the women. But people get stuck here because, you know, also as you've said, the politics has very greatly disenfranchised the man to the point where the man cannot control capital.
Yeah.
The man cannot control weapons or whatever. What is it that they can control? Women.
Yeah,
so they end up controlling the women. And then if you dig deeper into the family structure, then the women end up controlling the children.
Yeah.
Because we are always also kind of trying to exert power on the next weaker person. So I hate this whole thing where we're always trying to polarize society and also those kinds of lines. Because we end up raising such horrible human beings who don't deserve it.
So now it's a family of five
kids.
You're the second kid.
Yeah.
First kid,
Dame. Boy, Dame.
Okay. And then so your dad used to work for a publishing company.
Yeah.
So the publishing company, Nikitu Nizataja,
your publishing company. Sidani, Siko Shua, because I'm also, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but it was one of the biggest publishing companies in the country.
Okay. So he loses his job.
Yeah.
Hii time akilose job, mnaishi wapi?
Tunaishi Umo. But I'm still a baby, you know, like,
yes.
I think this happens in maybe 2000, I was maybe 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. This happens, no, maybe 1999. Because I was two and my sister had not come.
So loses the job. Hii nyumba ya nini ushaambiwa? Has it ever been described to you, like how big was it?
Hii nyumba ya Umo.
Hii
nyumba ya Umo ilikuwa kubwa kwa kulikuwa na watu wengi. Ilikuwa na, just from how I recollect it, ulikuwa unaweza enda places, ulikuwa unaweza enda jikoni, unaweza enda pali pa kulala. Yani it wasn't the same thing. So clearly it could be a two bedroom or a one bedroom. Because also we are a very small family back then. We were just two kids. It was just me and my big brother.
Okay. So loses the job. Do you know how long it took before moved to e placing in? Have you ever been told?
I can just calculate it. I know we moved into that placing in at like in 2000.
So just a few months.
So you know, yeah. So I think when my dad was working, he set up a salon for my mom. They had businesses.
Okay.
Dad had a thing. He had a bookshop on the side. Yeah. So I think those helped them stay afloat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the interesting thing. Like, I talk about these Kenyan politicians, I always say one thing that people don't realize is most businesses fail.
Yes.
And apart from businesses failing, a lot of businesses where you as the owner is not 100% involved,
right,
they end up failing.
Even faster.
So you'll find the fact that your dad was working and the bookshop is a side hustle.
Yes.
Is the reason why when he lost his job,
couldn't segue into it at any time. Yeah.
Because kuna hiyo ni, because hapa unapataga, mtu anasema, I used to sell chicken.
Yeah.
You check their history, unaona huu mtu aliingia politics 92 akiwa kampo.
Yeah.
Alafu, after kuingia politics akiwa 92, pesa zika print you around your time.
Yes.
Anakuambia litengeza billion na chicken. Na shudua hizi ni chicken gang. Because chicken farming is hard. People make this thing look like it's simple. Ati ya nunuwa mayai tatu. Utanunuwa mayai tatu na utayuse.
Let me tell you, more joke. Mini vegan. But I wanted to do that business after form 4 with research, and we even got an incubator. We wanted to incubate chicks, tukachapa hesabu tukasema over this period, kwanza tulinua incubator ya 400 eggs. Beshte yangu mamake akanua 12,000 eggs, tulisema tukihatch ututu chicks na hiyo time day old chicks ilikuwa zina uwezo I think 90 bob. Mapiga hesabu tunasema hata kampoa tuendi. Ah bro, kuku watakufa. Watu hawatanunua because they buy from names. It's you can't tell me
because apart from ku watu kununua kukufa, you just wake up one day and all the chicken are gone.
Infection,
yes,
feeds
have hizo kufa zote.
And
then mtu anakuambia alikuwa part time kuku farmer, na ni billionaire.
Unamekaje billionaire na watu wenye wana make business full time
hatengeneza hiyo billion?
I don't know, people don't understand, and a lot of people watch this thing and I hear people say they want to be billionaires. You're never going to be a billionaire. And ethically, it's very difficult for you to be an ethical billionaire.
You go to
a church. I don't even know. I don't believe there's an ethical billionaire. For you to get a billion of something, you can't do it ethically. Kuna mse ame exploit you apparently, kuna pale kitu iliibiwa and you don't know or you're blind to.
Yeah, it's some crazy shit.
Kabisa.
It's some crazy shit. So mka move kwa hii place. So place mlika how long
hii place? Your place here, that Katin house. From class 1 I went to nursery and then I went to class 1. I remember I didn't do pre-unit things. So I did class 1, 2, 3. So I could say maybe 4 years give or take.
Oh, 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. After who got the job? It's your mom.
It's my mom who got the job.
So what happened to your dad's career? Did he ever get employed?
No. And that's why I'm telling you mentally in terms of mental fortitude because he stayed all those years. And he's not fallen into alcoholism.
Oh, okay.
He's not had cases of you cheating on my mom. You know, just those things which men do when they're frustrated. He's stayed. When I look at a good man, I look at my dad.
Okay.
And that's good. Anasema, hey, this is a man of principle. Therefore, if he tells me things, because when he's trying to even correct me, he says, and he used to share me and he'd say, umeniona nikifanya hiki kitu. I'm like hapana. Umeniona nikikunywa pombe. I'm like hapana. Umeniona nikivuta sigara hapana. So we draw parallels from his life. It's not like he's trying to save you from a thing.
Yeah.
So even recently when I had like an episode, I remember he told me one of the most profound things. He told me if there was one person who would have killed, and this even my mom told me on the side, there's one person who would have killed himself, is me.
Yeah.
I'm like, life, I lost a very good job. I've not been able to pay for my kid, do the thing that other men do for their children, those expensive things that he used to be able to do for, even if it's for a short time. And it's like, I lost it all. And I would see how the court case dragged and whatnot and whatnot.
Or court case gani?
He had like the court case for where he was working. It really dragged.
Oh, he was trying to.
Yeah, they were trying. They went to court for compensation or reinstatement. I don't know. It never worked out for them.
Oh, okay.
So it was. You would see it. So now, as a man, when I look at it, I'm like, yes, he had all the reasons. So I was telling him, to be fair, it's not that these things are happening to me mentally because I lack something. It's just because the brain has misfired. But I totally see that if we are to look for a reason and say that this is reason enough, he has all the reasons to be a horrible human being. Like his villain story should have started. Yeah, but he's been fairly consistent in his religion, in his marriage, in his dealings. I know he's had chances. He could have had chances to do like corrupt things or things, but he's been a fairly upright man. And he's lived his entire life as I've known him in poverty.
Because I know that, like, when I look back, because I keep telling people that I really want to go sit down with my mom and ask her like about my dad, because there's so many stories of this guy who in his youth tried so many things.
Yeah.
And then at some point, he just couldn't get a job.
Yeah.
And with him now, it pushed him to alcoholism.
Right.
And that ended up being like the reason why he died. And that's the reason why I don't drink.
Mm.
So me na kuagaile like, I saw, also, the sins of the father shall visit the children.
Yeah.
So they're like, most probably this shit is in my blood. I start.
Right.
Nimeenda.
Yeah.
Because one of the things ile nilisikia ukisema, anything that you do, you don't have us. You go.
Mimi naendanga yote.
Pia mimi nakuaga 100%. Na kuaga hivyo, like nikiingia kwa kitu ni.
Yeah.
So najuaga.
I even saw how disruptive iko nini was.
Yeah.
Like mulingia tu, lighting was shit. But mulikuwa mnachapa episodes nilikuwa naangalia show niko like
yeah.
And look at you guys now.
Yeah,
look angalia kitu.
Hey, lazima kuzuki have us vitu jo utakuwa there opportunities in life uta miss out on.
Yeah.
Na kuna so mimi niko najua hata nikiingia kwa alcohol
yeah.
I've gone 100%.
Yeah.
So now to go back to so e place mko Karen akapata mother alipata job
samana Nakuru. Alipata job Nakuru yeah.
Nakuru. So Nakuru kwa move like
to come move first of all to move place and it was STEM. STEM is just before you get into as you're getting into Nakuru there's like a park. It's not Manyani but the, like Nakuru National Park. Not uko nyuma it's an animal thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so up with STEM and then after STEM we moved into when I was in STEM was I going to school. You know, also there's a time we didn't go to school for a while.
Oh, okay. Kuna dog.
Yeah, tukakaka home kiasi. And then we moved into like Kitty, Section 58. Tukaingia place inaitwa Kitty. Then I was enrolled into a primary school that's called St. John's. Now St. John's now, and I see consistently there are people who sowed in my well-being. My formative years, there's a person, I don't know what he was called. Was he called Mr. James or whatever? He was such a good French teacher. And I remember alinifundisha wimbo ingine hapo ya French. Ikafanya ni take such a keen interest in that language.
Oh, yeah.
Consistently, I've had beacons of language. People who made me such an amazing linguist. It was unparalleled.
Okay.
So now when I get into St. John's, I find a very good principal, a very good teacher of English, and a very good teacher of Swahili.
Okay.
I'm unbeatable, bro, at that time. Kuzungumza sijui kufanya nini. Kabisa, kabisa. So I go into St. John's. Then post-election violence now is what displaces us.
Okay, but before bungejua post-election,
nikuata
kujua, muki move Nakuru, what sort of house is it? Is it bigger than the...
It's bigger, yes. Most definitely bigger.
Mm.
We move into a one-bedroom.
And what's your mom doing?
My mom is an accountant. She was an accountant. She's an accountant.
Okay.
And I think that's why I usually keep on saying my mom has been my greatest inspiration because even without knowing, I just ended up following it in her footsteps.
Okay.
Because that's what I ended up studying. I ended up studying the same course because now even how she came to study afterwards. I remember we were in uni right about the same time. So she graduated 2 years before I did.
Oh.
So assignments, sijui nini, watu wako, sijui comrades, mimi niko na mama yangu. Like, huh? Nifanye hizo notes zako. Sijui iko kwa exam, nifanye nini. Yeah, so I had like, we had like that fun chance to be students together. So yeah, so she was an accountant. She was working in finance. She was working with, I think, Kenya Pipeline Company at the time. Or National Oil, I don't know. Whatever, yeah.
Oh, okay. So Kwani, what's, tuangalia both, your dad's education level, your mom's education level?
So at the time, I think my dad just, he finished in Form 6 and then pursued... higher education maybe kidogo and my mom later just came to pursue her degree much later like we joined uni together so that's I think that's part of what made my dad very keen on education because he was like this is the only thing I can bequeath my children because he saw it as a the liberator.
The great equalizer.
The great equalizer. Same, at least give you guys a fighting chance. And he was very deliberate about his education. Me, all my smarts, I can't owe it to another teacher. My mom for the vocabulary and whatnot. My dad for the assertiveness.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Like, I was more homeschooled than I was schooled in these other departments in school. So school was just a formality. Go there, get the certificate, come back.
Cousina reminded me my mom. My mom, I think, she always says it. She says she's a class 3 dropout.
Yes.
And she joked that during her time, she had to stop going to school so that her brothers could go to school.
So,
so it's a very funny thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think apart from last born, Wakina Madhe, the rest never finished school. The girls. So they went to school. Then at some level, they had to be pulled out. wanaachia
yeah.
mabro lakini
yeah.
mabro ao
yeah.
like mabro ake wote they all went to school
right.
So it shows you how that time was different
yeah, yeah.
but even with this level of education moods like multiplication
yeah.
I still remember it vizuri kabisa because she's the one who taught me
yeah
atiki
yeah.
So now because I think hapo ndio level yake nini ilifika afu nikakam nika find out like later in life I think education I need to change because one of the things I've noticed ni things that people struggle with in school they never struggle with in real life
in life yeah
because she noticed multiplication saizi enda ununue mayai tatu kutoka they'll do the maths
the exact same thing yeah.
Yeah, alafu the example I normally give is algebra like algebra the way it's taught in school
yeah.
it's like this strange thing
yes.
but I feel like algebra is the one thing that we use the most
kabisa kabisa
kingia kwa supermarket two loaves of bread and one milk
yes
that's algebra
yes
but you see the way it's taught in school it's 2x plus 3y
no
now kids will never
so
na pata place kama Finland I don't know kama ifuatilia Finland inasemekana they're changing the whole school system but in Finland they don't do subjects
right
they do the holistic approach
right. So it's disciplines how it more of disciplines than it is yeah.
yes so what you're taught history and math in the same class I don't know how that works but
well, it yeah. works I can yeah. totally see the idea for it because a lot of these subjects, when you look at them, they are enmeshed. When you go deeper into just like scholarly, when you dig into it scholarly, you find that these things are not as different because yeah. music has a lot of math. Basically, even if you to describe physics in the simplest way, if you were to describe it to a like a dummy,
yes.
you'd say that everything sings. It's all about frequencies
yeah.
and G-valence, whatever, protons, electrons, neutrons, quite literally, it's vibrant. It's everything says so you can I can see how that works
so mko hapa inaitwa Nakuru
sasa
how does a 10 year old remember post election violence because does a 10 year old know how much what tribalism means because I have some untold stories and I plan to give this story on because kuna watu sikia kama I've given people all the stories
yeah
I sat down my juice and I was like, there's one story I've never given people.
Yeah.
Like how I came to experience tribalism. It happened much earlier than it should have. Like, oh shit, you know what? I'm Luo.
Yeah.
And Luos, when they're adults, they don't circumcise. I'm a small kid.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to be a
concern. Yeah, at all.
But nilibaki nimeilan come to you. But nilisema hii ni story for the
more African podcast. Msea kisha kuita kehe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hii ni story for... yo podcast so
yeah.
niko nataka kujua as a 10 year old because uko 10 years your time how post election ilianzaje and how long did it take before mtoke Nakuru
so you know and this is a thing you've asked a question which I've thought about it but I've never really found the words to vocalize it tribalism will take more than us saying we are tribeless
yes
it will take way more than that to take to kai chini and do collective healing because the first instance I experienced tribalism is how my mom lost her job at that company that she was working at so normally mtoi wako akiwa anacheza na mabishi zake akirudi home na tuseme amepigwa huko nje atasema nani amenipiga but for my mom it was a group that was out to get her and unfortunately all of them were from the same tribe. So when my mom recalls the story, when I was hearing it as a child, it was, mazee wale wanini wale niharibia kazi. And then, you know, it doesn't help that the plotting was happening in like a different language.
Yeah,
and then eventually that's what we need. So it's the first time I see it and I'm like, oh man, this is really bad. I don't like it. And then now, as you've said, you know, and that's why I've always been really fluid about even my tribal identity because this is now leading into 207. So Kajobo, I think Kajobo is spoiled in 206. There was a thing and I don't know why I don't hear people talking about it, but there was like, by the time 207 was happening, you could see it coming. There was very heavy tribal, in the offices, in what, there are certain people from certain tribes who've just felt like if we are here, and I don't know if that was the same, but us Naks, we were surrounded by Kikuyus at the time. And it felt as though there was like a cleanse of sorts. And where we lived, at the time, there was like a very active Mungiki
presence.
Yes, kabisa, kabisa. And it's I've never thought of talking about this. Mm. I've never talked about it in public, yeah. But I know it in my head when I do that analysis. And I consistently told, it's a thing which, it's the argument I make for ending tribalism. Mm. When I talk about, and I've never really said it was my mom, but that really hurt me.
Yeah, yeah.
That when she felt like, oh, you know, it was just the people that she was working with threw her under the bus.
Mm.
But I was like, I kept on telling my friends, okay, Nikosanda Sema, mwafni mtu mbaya. Yeah, but you know, when you get for the older generation, they'll be like, wale wa Kikuyu, wale wa Kisii, wale wa Kaleni wa Sawabaya. So by the time that's happening, then now we get into into 2007.
Yeah.
Raila has vied.
Mm.
And you remember how, so my dad, I think, was an agent.
Yeah.
So I was very aware politically. Mm. In my head, first of all, I wanted Kalonzo to win 2007. And my dad was like, oh, Kalonzo cannot win. He's still like a very fresh person. But I just thought, Stephen Kalonzo Musyoka. I was like, what a name.
Yeah.
Unasikia ni wakili. Ah, God damn it. Anyways, so now when he'd do his errands, when he'd come to Nairobi, I would get into the car.
Mm.
Then the election is rigged because I believe 2007 was rigged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it was rushed, ECK at the time, Stima Imepotea, messed up. So after that happens, that finds us in Nairobi. Mm. We're supposed to go and go back to the family. I remember my dad telling me, usiseme jina yako na usiniite. Ukiulizwa jina ya dad ni nini, unasema hizi zingine tofauti.
So, okay, wacha nirewind hapo. Buda alikuwa agent wapi? Nairobi?
Yes.
Oso mlikuwa Nairobi when it's happened?
Mimi na dad tulikuwa tumekam Nairobi. Okay, kuishi na one of our relatives, but famous in Nakuru.
Okay, okay.
Yes. So wako like, usiseme jina. Mtu ataki kuuliza lugha, usema tu uongei, those kinds of things.
Mm.
And so, then now, in the night, one time I remember it was 3 a.m. Mm. And back then, my phones are equal smartphones.
Yes, yes.
So napigiwa. And we always consistently had like people who are looking out for us.
Mm.
Called my mom and they're like, Mungiki wakona mkutano, tafadhali wajaluo tokeni hapa.
Okay. Of course. Isasa ni Nakuru sasa.
Yes, Nakuru. Mm. So now that's, now tukatoka yo place, tulikuwa, then tukaenda kujifira place flani ito wa Mawanga.
Yeah.
No worries. Let's just go back.
What I'm trying to understand is, how does your mother
explain
to a 10-year-old the reason why tunatoka hapa ni juu we speak a different language.
Nilikuwa kirere.
This is because unajua kile suchukua gaizi vitu, like when we are adults we never know that this shit is imprinted.
Yes.
When you are kids.
Yes.
So mliamwaje, like unajua nyinyi ni wajaluo. Achikiwe best yako, that best friend of yours, because I'm sure you had some Kikuyu best friends.
Yeah.
Like maybe moja iko naitwa
Kinanganga.
Yeah, so unaambiwa you're different from Nganga because you speak different different language. And now kuna mtu atakuja kukuua.
Yeah.
You speak a different. How was that explained to nyinyi?
I think one, you would feel the danger because you would see how stressful it was for my folks.
Mm.
But also at the point, the people who I would want to know, either if they knew or they were clueless, were my younger siblings. Because mimi nilikuwa at the point, I was already reading very, very heavy literature. So I knew that, I didn't know it in depth, but I knew that this was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't need much explanation because ulikuwa like, unaona nani, aliuliwa. Hey, so there was live examples of people who once were, and they had already been killed. So yeah, I also didn't necessarily think too much about it because I was afraid. You didn't need to understand. You're just like, oh, it's dangerous. But you could hear the adults talking and you'd eavesdrop. Akoto like, hey, wametuambia itakuwa hivi. So Tweni, even the Luo people that they knew and whatnot. And those are the tribes that were kind of undesirable. Kenda your side.
So mkenda, please ndo?
Mawanga, hey. Kwa huko ndani, unangia. Kwa Nakuru bado, ukiingia hivyo section 58. Natoka hivyo Kiti, tukatoka Kiti. Na wasa tukenda kujificha.
Kwa nini mulifili place ni safe?
Ilikuwa na wasee, ilikuwa na wajaka kadhaa, ilikuwa more metropolitan, if I may. Okay. Yeah, ilikuwa Sudi. Also, there was another thing that was really traumatic that I saw. I saw ethnic clashes between Wasudi. One time niliona tu waliingia kwa field na wakaanza kupigana. Kukangushana kwa miba. So niliona hiyo kitu as a child, nikakaa hivi nikasema mimi
like maybe Dinka and Nuer,
like
Nuer
and what not.
Nuer.
Nikakaa hivi nikasema mimi sitaki kuona kitu kama hii tena. Kabisa kabisa. And then now after that, there's a friend that my mom had made.
Mm.
alikuwa anaitwa Mama Kiplish.
Mm.
Mama Kiplish sasa akatuambia tuende kwake Elder Maravin.
Mm.
Oh, pack tu kila kitu kwa lori.
Mm.
Budango anza came later. Because also wasa walikuwa anachomewa manyumba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know. Mm. Like, at what point did we get yenye unaweza kama tu nichome nyumba ya mwa?
Najua, I understand. Mm. I always understand both sides.
Mm.
I understand the tribal side.
Yeah.
I understand the way I understand the tribal side is Kenya's history has been, I always say, romanticized.
Mm.
So we are told about how the white man came to Kenya and then we chased away the white man.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is Kenya did not exist.
Yeah.
So the white man came and started a company, the British East African Company.
Yes, Iberco.
Yes. Na hii British East African Company ndio ilienda iki dividiwa. So hizi zilikuwa like economic sectors.
Yes.
So mtu akitengeneza Kenya akiambia wajaka wa Luya, wa Kale, wa Kikuyu mtaishi pamoja. Yende alidecide.
Yes.
We did not decide.
Right.
So that means that it's going to take more effort to unite us than the British or the English.
Yes.
Because the English decided, this is us. We start from here to here.
Yeah.
The French decided it. Sisi hatuku decide.
Mm-mm.
So it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And then when you look at what Moi did, where Moi alifanya power ikakua, like your people become super rich.
Yes.
So now we ended up with the rewards of this world. Now people would associate that with that. So for a Kikuyu in 2007, you're like, because you know, Pia, Kibaki had really done well economically.
Mm.
The only, his Achilles heel ilikuwa tribalism.
Yes.
He was not able, like all tribes brought him into power.
Yeah.
But when it was time to assign the seats, he didn't balance
that's how
it.
That's why we had like those G42 versus one.
Yeah,
yeah.
So now I understand why that Kikuyu is angry. Like, my life has changed.
Mm.
This is a very good president. What the fuck do you mean that he should leave?
Mm.
So I understand your side. So Musa Maga, like, kuna tengine tunakuwa like, ah, tribalism is stupid. No, you have to understand the context.
Yeah.
This is how it started.
Yeah.
How do we change that? Some of the most tribal people are Europeans. That's why European countries are very small.
Like, most
countries are.
Yeah.
Like England ni dogo. England ni like England is so small that kuna watu semagawa like one of the wonders of the world is how this language is spoken by
kila pahali.
Kila pahali. Like country yenyewe ni dogo and it's a fit Kenya I think mara 4.
Mm.
I think even more than mara 4. England is small. Eh. So so mimi naelewa. So Mawanga au mkatoka Mawanga mkenda
Elder Maravin. Yeah.
Elder Maravin which tribe
Wakale.
So that felt safe at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kakana Wakale, nikalan kikale kiasi, nikalan your tradition, nilipenda, because I've always also been really curious.
Mm.
Then after Ravine,
and
then now we moved to Magadi Soda.
Okay, so Ravine ulienda chuo at any point, ama itaimi yote kwa out of school?
Itaimi yote tu kuenda shule.
Na ulikuwa, which class by
class
elections ina happen?
Class 5.
Oh, we'll come skip one class.
Yeah.
Instead of class 5
class
five, what,
six.
11.
Yeah, class 5 6 there about.
Okay. Then Elder Maravin Itai mother and apply for jobs.
Yeah.
So then she gets the Magadis
job ko Magadi Soda company.
Still as an accountant.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah,
so now
accounts.
You have to move.
Yeah.
Kubeba kila kitu tena. Lori tena.
Yeah.
How big?
That Magadi Soda was it had one bedroom.
Mm.
It had like a split thing so the kids could sleep. It could call it technically two.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
and how many kids are you at this point?
So I had to go full house as a 5.
Oh, go 5. Mm, oh,
5 trying to kill him to asha arrive.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh. Afu, as an adult, you mtu ushindagwa. Hata yuko anatengeneza sanga.
Eh, because unaka hivi.
Ile space kitu ilikuwa so small.
Na nyinyi mlitoka wapi?
Yeah.
Eh.
Like, unashindagwa, okay, ile happen aje.
Yeah.
So now, uko chuo, ulikuwa nenda chuo gani?
Sasa nilienda Magadi Primary.
Magadi Primary.
Yeah.
This is where now ulifanya class 8 ama?
Magadi Primary nilifanya class 6 and class 7.
Okay.
Mm.
Class 8 ukenda?
Class 8 nikaenda place inaitwa Carol Academy.
Mm.
Kaenda interview. There was a very good school in Nakuru. I don't know who linked my dad up with the school. Akaambiwa so anasikia tu kuna shule hapo hivyo.
Boarding.
Yes, sasa nikaenda boarding.
Oh, okay.
Class 6 I did class 6 in Magadi. Mm. Then class 7 I think I did third term in Carol Academy 7 and 8. Mm. Mm.
Okay.
Or I did class 7 and 8 the whole thing. I don't remember very
well. Okay. So e-boarding, your parents are paying for it?
Yes, my parents are paying for it.
Mm.
Did I get a partial scholarship?
Mm. Cuz I knew something that used to happen back in the days is private schools would sponsor.
Yes.
Kids bright who could kids. Perform.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So yako
iko. I think really cool hiyo kitu kiasi.
Mm. Okay, okay.
Cuz ingekuwa ngumu for how ku afford yote, but whether I don't know. Again, najua that's the other thing. But folks did so well to shield us from the economic stress. Yeah, so yeye mko najua iko, but hawakuwa anatuonyesha ati oh najua mimi ndio niko na hii pesa, mimi ndio niko na hiyo pesa. Even though yes we knew it was my mom was working, it didn't feel as though sijui our dad was smaller or whatever. They didn't rub it in our faces that we sasa shika hii pocket money or whatever na. Yeah.
Oh okay. And each time nini mkiwa place kama gadi, what does your dad do during the day when
he did a lot of teaching and did do some business. I think he also did some small business things. Okay. Yeah.
So E Carols kutoka hapo ndio
unaweka admit your alliance sasa.
Alliance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mi Carol niliandika shule moja. Nikutana na mzee fulani anaitwa Patroba. Wakili squeeze. He gives such a story for defiance. Alikuwa anaambia us you Carol akaniambia nifanye nini, ni pick paper aka snap cuz Carol used to snap it mbushe kijana. Nini aka defy mbaya. Akasema Bush, you Bush ndio nataka. Then I didn't even know Bush was alliance.
Oh.
So class 7, then nikauliza Bush ni nini? Alliance. Time tulikuwa tuna apply nikaandika tu hiyo shule peke yake. Kasema eh huyu ana kiburi nini? So, but nilienda. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So acha tupongeje Alliance High School. Itakuwa AHS.
The AHS, baba.